Well, today it's my privilege and honor. Today he doesn't get to preach that often because I always like to preach. But how many know that sometimes it's good? One of the things about our church that I really have appreciated is that we've all grown as the church has started the very small, then we begin to grow over the last couple of years and have continued to grow. It's exciting to see our leadership growing as well. And today, Pastor Matt, our youth pastor, is going to come. He's going to be speaking, bringing the word to us today. And it's been exciting to see him growing in his delivery of the word and when God just given him so much knowledge. And if you've never heard Pastor Matt, if you're new to our church and you've never heard him speak today, you're going to be in for a great treat. And I want to put your hands together. Show him how much you appreciate him as he comes today to bless us. Pastor Matt, come today to bless us. Bring the word to God.
Thank you, Pastor Gene. Good morning. This morning we're going to continue the series on Who is the Father? And I'd like to start off this morning just by sharing with you a story in the Bible. And if you've seen, there's been lots of movies that cover this story. The Ten Commandments, the old one with Charlton Heston. And then more recently, probably in the last 10 years, The Prince of Egypt. There's a story of Moses. And Moses, we're going to pick up with him. He's left Egypt, and he's fled Egypt. He's grown up there in Egypt. But he got mad, lost his temper, and killed a guy. And so Pharaoh finds out about it, and so Moses has to flee for his life. It doesn't usually cover it that way in the movies and the stories, the cartoons that you see. But that's really why Moses left Egypt, is because he had to flee for his life. And so Moses takes off across the desert, running for his life, and he goes until he comes to this land that the Bible calls Midian. I'm not really for sure where Midian is. I couldn't find it on any of the maps. But Midian is somewhere in there around Israel in the Arabian Desert somewhere. And so he shows up, and he's been traveling across the desert, and he's hungry, and he's tired, and he's weak. And he comes to this well, and he's there to get a drink. And at the well, there's these seven daughters of this man, and they are herding his sheep. And they're there trying to draw water for their sheep. And these other men come up and start to scare away the daughters and the sheep. And so Moses stands up and basically, does a little kung fu on them and takes care of them, chases the guys off and gets the women their water and stuff. And he's the big hero and all this stuff. Well, it happened to be that those daughters were the daughters of the priest of Midian, is what the Bible says. Somebody who worshiped the one true God, who worshiped God. And so they take Moses home and he goes back with them. Well, he ends up marrying one of the daughters and he ends up living there in Midian. And he begins to tend the sheep, to be the shepherd. And so here you have this man Moses, who was saved from the Nile River as a baby boy, who was raised in the most powerful house of the most powerful king in the entire world at that time, the Pharaoh. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was educated by the best educators, the smartest people in the entire world. And he's tending sheep. A little bit of overqualified there. So some of you that may be looking for jobs, nothing was too low for Moses. He didn't mind going and tending sheep, even though he had all this education and all this stuff. And so Moses is out. He's on the side of the desert, and he's at the base of this mountain tending his sheep, Mount Moriah. And he's there, and he looks up. I can see him just kind of sitting there, just kind of scanning the horizon, checking everything out. And something catches his eye up on the mountain. And he's like, what in the world is that? That looks like that's a bush on fire. But it's not spreading. It's not burning up. It's not going out. It's just on fire. He's like, I got to go check this out. And so Moses takes a real quick look, does a real quick count on all the sheep. Okay, they're all here. I'll be right back. And so he climbs up on this mountain, and he gets up there to it, and he comes within, say, 20 feet of the bush, and he's looking at it and trying to figure out what it is. And he hears this voice, Moses. Now, if that was me, I would have jumped back, be like, I'm out of here. I'll see you guys later. Don't need no talking bushes in my life. I'm gone. But Moses, he stops. And the Bible says that God was calling to him out of the bush. And he says, Moses, take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. And so Moses does this thing, and he takes his shoes off. I won't take mine off because I may have holes in my socks. And he throws them off to the side. And God starts to speak to Moses out of this burning bush. And he begins to tell Moses, I am the God of your fathers, and I have heard the cry of my people Israel in Egypt. They are slaves, and they're hurting, and they're being punished, and they're being punished unfairly, and I've heard their cries, and it is time for me to rescue my people out of Egypt. And Moses is like, okay, yeah, that sounds cool. Good, good. Let's, you know, whatever. I'm right here behind you. And God says, but I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses, whoa, wait a second. Hold on here. You've got to have the wrong person. There's got to be somebody better to do this than me. And he begins to make all these excuses, and he says, you know, God, I'm not a good public speaker. I stutter, and I can't talk straight when I get in front of people. Surely there's somebody else more qualified to go. Surely there's somebody else that you can send that would do a better job than me. And he begins to make all these excuses, and I think, man, how many times have we made those excuses? I remember the first time when Pastor Gene asked me to speak on a Sunday morning, and it was the, we had started the church on Easter was our first service, and it was that summer, and Pastor Gene and Mel and their family were going down to Florida, and they were going to be gone on a Sunday, and Pastor Gene come up to me, and he said, Pastor Matt, I need you to speak this Sunday. And I said, whoa, wait a second. I'm fine with hanging out with the teenagers and acting stupid and having fun, and you can make, you know, you don't have to be polished. And, you know, and I'm a youth pastor. I'm not a big church person. And I started making all the excuses. No, God, this is not right. There's got to be somebody more qualified. Can't you call your dad to come up and speak or something? I'm thinking in my mind, he's wrong. This is not right. And Jesus said, no, you need to speak. And so I did, and I've spoken many times since then, but that's what Moses was doing. And in our lives, we make those excuses all the time. We say things like, you know, I know this person needs to be prayed for, but I'm just not good at praying out loud. And so why don't I call Pastor Gene? Pastor Gene's a good prayer. We'll call Pastor Gene. He'll come and he can pray for my mother, or he can pray for my sick family member in the hospital. And all the time, God's just saying, Matt, just pray for them. Just pray for them. You do it. You do it. And we're making these excuses. Or maybe there's somebody at church that has questions about the, or at work that has questions about the Bible and certain things in it. And they may be starting to talk to you and ask you, and you're like, wait a second, I don't know this stuff. Let's call Pastor Jeremiah. He's got a biblical studies degree from a Bible college. He's got those. Let's call Pastor Jeremiah. He can come and answer these questions. I don't know that stuff. And God's telling you, you know what? I want you to do it. I've been preparing you your entire life for moments such as these. And that's exactly what Moses, even though he didn't realize it, Moses had been prepared his entire life to go back to Pharaoh. He had been raised in the court of Pharaoh. He was basically a stepson or step-grandson of the Pharaoh. So he was raised in the courts. He knew their traditions. He knew how to act. He knew what to say. Moses had been prepared his entire life for this moment, and he's making excuses. And he's saying, wait a second, God, you've got to have somebody else. And so he comes up with this other excuse. You go to this next slide. I'm sorry, the next one. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. And I'm going to be reading this out of, it's actually the English translation of the Torah, which is the Jewish scriptures, which are the first five books of our Old Testament. But there's words in here that you're not going to recognize because that's how it's written in the Torah, in the English version of the Torah. Moses said to God, when I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, Ea, Asher, Ea. He continued, thus shall you say to the Israelites, Ea has sent me to you. And God said further to Moses, thus shall you speak to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This shall be my name forever, this my appellation for all eternity. Now these words up here that are in Hebrew is what they're in. They mean something, obviously. But the first word that you see up there, the Ea, Asher, Ea, is where we get the phrase, if you read it in an English version, the King James or the NIV or whatever you happen to read, I am that I am, is what God says to Moses. When Moses asks, what's your name? God says, I am that I am. And you continue down, it says, Ea has sent me to you. That's the I am part of it. I am has sent me to you. And when you go farther down, how I've written it there, the YHWH is the shortened word, and that's how it's always read in the, or always written in the Jewish scriptures, because that name, the name of God to a Jew, he will never pronounce that name. It's a sacred name. And so when he's reading that, he'll always substitute the Lord or something else in its place. But that's how it's written, and it's been translated different ways, Jehovah or Yahweh. I like to say Yahweh because it's easier. But there's names of God in the Bible that you see in the Bible. In this scripture is where you see the word God. That word is actually Elohim. And it simply means God. It's the plural term for it, though, and that's an entirely different message. You can go to this next slide. It's on there. The plural term, it's a general, and more precisely, it could be translated, the deity, is what it means. It's God, the God. It's just kind of a general term. And in your English Bibles, when you read the word God, it's always the word Elohim there. The next one that it's not in this scripture, but you'll see it in the Bible, it's called Adonai. And Adonai means the Lord, and it comes from the root word meaning sovereign. It's master, ruler. And in the English, when you see it in your Bible, it's always read as the Lord. And it's a general term again. But the third name, the name that's here in the scriptures, the Yahweh, the YHWH, Jehovah or Yahweh, it's the personal name of God. It's always written in the Bible as you'll see a big L and then smaller but still capitalized, the O-R-D, Lord, in the Bible. And it comes from that root word, the Ea, the I am. And so Yahweh means I am. That's the name that God the Father gives to Moses as his personal name. He went from the general terms of Elohim or God and Adonai, the Lord, to the personal name of Yahweh. It'd be like I call Pastor Dean if I just called him Pastor all the time. And this is my pastor, this is the pastor, this is the pastor, this is the pastor. And he said, no, my name is Gene. That's what God is doing here. He's saying, you've called me God, and you've called me the Lord, but my name is Yahweh. My name is I am. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is the Father is I am. From this point on, Israel became the people called by the name of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14, God is speaking, and he says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. My people who are called by my name. God even promised to place his name on the place of worship that would be built in the land he was going to bring them to. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, do not worship the Lord your God in the way these pagan peoples worship their gods. Rather, you must seek the Lord your God at the place he himself will choose from among all the tribes for his name being Yahweh, I am, to be honored. Later on, when Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem some 400 years later, this is what he says when he's dedicating the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 20. I have built this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. The name of God traditionally, they believe, was inscribed on the temple. Actually inscribed, the YHWH, Yahweh, was inscribed on the temple in Jerusalem. That temple was built to honor the name of God. You see, when we read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, sometimes we get in our mind that there's distinction. In the Old Testament, you have God, the judge, and the big, powerful creator, and he's an impersonal God, and he's far off, and you have to go through all these sacrifices and all these rituals and all this thing just to get to God. And in the New Testament, you have Jesus and the sacrifice, and he becomes a more personal God. But this right here is showing you that even in the Old Testament, God desired to have a personal relationship with his people. No longer did he want to be called God. No longer did he want to be called Lord. No longer, when I was growing up in church, everybody was brother this or sister that. It was Brother Engle or Sister Engle or all this sort of stuff. If somebody calls me Brother Engle, I start looking for my dad. I'm not brother anything. I'm Matt. All right? It's the same thing. God's saying, I'm not just God or the Lord or the deity. I am. I am Yahweh. Is what God is saying. I desire to have that personal one-on-one relationship with you. And so they built the temple, and it was magnificent, and it was built to honor the I am name of God, and it was inscribed upon the temple. He called them by his own name. He wanted them to be not just the people of Elohim, but the people of Yahweh. But sin cut off the relationship that he desired to have with his people. And so there were certain rituals and certain rites that you had to perform before you could communicate with Yahweh. But all of that changed with the coming of the Son. When Jesus came and his sacrificial death and resurrection, we can now enjoy the personal relationship with Yahweh that he has desired since the very beginning of time. In fact, the Bible says this, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? You are the temple of God. You are created to honor the Yahweh name of God. When you become a Christian, when you accept God's salvation in your life, at that moment, His name is inscribed on your heart. You begin to have that personal relationship with God that He has desired from the beginning of time. It's His personal name. It's His familiar name. We are now the temple of God. The name Yahweh throughout Scriptures, it's paired with other words throughout Scriptures. And when you look at these words and these phrases with the meaning of Yahweh, if you keep that in mind, they become just these very valuable, just amazing truths for our lives. The first one Pastor Gene actually spoke on a couple weeks ago, and it's the Yahweh Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh is how we English size it. But it means simply Yahweh will see to it. Yahweh the provider. But when you take his name and you put it in the English, it means, I am your provider. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33, it says this. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Now, in our area, we probably haven't been hit as bad with the financial and all the problems that are going on throughout our nation and throughout the country. But there are a lot of people out there that are worried. There are a lot of people probably sitting here this morning that you're worried about, how am I going to make sure that I keep my job? How am I going to make sure that I can provide for my family? How am I going to make sure that I have clothes, that I can buy Christmas presents for my children? And God is just saying to you, Yahweh, I am your provider. Don't worry about it. If you seek me first, and that's the key. When we were in college, I went to a Bible college, and there's all these people that oh man, I don't know how I'm going to get gas in my car and all this stuff, and they're all worried about it. They're like, but God will provide. But then you look at their life and how they're living, and they're not seeking the kingdom of God first. They were out partying on Friday nights. Yes, that happens at Bible colleges too. But they were doing all sorts of other things. By their lives, they were not seeking the kingdom of God first. So that's the key there, is seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first what God has for you to do in your life, in your situation, in your Jerusalem, as I like to tell our students. See what God has for you to do. And make that your primary concern, and God will take care of the rest. He is Yahweh Yireh. I am your provider, is what he's saying to you. So don't worry about all the rest of that. God will take care of it. Another name that is in the Bible is Yahweh Nisi. And literally it means Yahweh is my banner. And this comes from the idea of in battle. When you would march into battle, you always had a banner bearer. Somebody that raised the banner in front of the army and led the army into battle. And it means that Yahweh is my strength and my shield. And again, when you put it with what Yahweh means, the I am your strength and shield. I am your protection from the storm. I am the one that is going to make sure that you are all right, to give you the strength that you need. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. God provides us with our strength. He protects us from the storm. And that's what Paul is saying here. It doesn't matter what else is going on around me. It doesn't matter how my world is falling apart around me. God gives me strength to get through the day. And man, we need that, especially during these holiday times sometimes. They can be so stressful, and it can just feel like everything is spiraling out of control. But God just says to you, Yahweh Nisi, I am your strength and shield. When you are hurting, when you can't go on any longer, when it feels like you cannot stand up against the tide any longer, I am your strength. When the world seems to be coming after you and attacking you and everything seems to be going wrong, I am your shield. And that's what God is saying to you with this name. The third one is Yahweh Shalom. It means Yahweh is peace. I am your peace. Again, in Philippians chapter 4, and 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I love this one. Yahweh Shalom. I am your peace. There's been times in my life with deaths of family members and things that have gone on in my life that I have just been just in turmoil in my spirit. One of the things that I've shared, I think with our students and with others, is I was in the room. My grandmother had cancer and gone in for surgery and basically never came out of the anesthesia. And so she was in the ICU, and it was the first day she'd been in for a couple days, and I'd had to work like the first day all day and couldn't make it up there. So I got up there the next day, and I got to go in at visiting time to the ICU, and I'm standing there, and it was just me. The rest of the family wasn't in at that time, and I'm standing there with my grandmother, who's unconscious and laying on the bed. And I'm standing there, you know, just kind of talking to her and patting her hand, and I'm watching the monitors, and her blood pressure begins to drop. And I just see it go down to, I mean, it was really low. It was like 60 over 20 or something like that. And a nurse comes in real quickly and unplugs the monitor and then turns around and walks out. And so I'm sitting there like, what in the world just has happened? And just 30 seconds later, the rest of my family comes in. And what had happened was my grandmother had died right there with me in the room. And the nurse came in and unplugged the monitor and went out and told the rest of the family. And so I stood there and watched as the rest of my family, my grandpa and my mom and dad and my uncles and aunts and my cousins all come into the room, and I saw all their faces. And it was a very traumatic experience for me. I was about 18, 19 years old. And I still can see every single one of their faces. And it was this traumatic experience, and my mom and my grandma were really super close. And so it was one of those things that I thought, okay, I'm 18, I'm a man, I can be strong, I'm going to be strong for my mom and all this stuff. But every time I closed my eyes, I saw their faces. And I had no peace, and I couldn't sleep, and I was physically ill because of this experience, because I just couldn't get it through my mind. And I read that verse, and I thought, the peace of God, which is beyond all comprehension, if I will just pray and give it over to God, He will be my peace. God says, I am your peace. When you are hurt, when you are struggling, when you are going through situations that are traumatic and you have no peace in your life, God says, Yahweh Shalom, I am your peace. Allow me to come in and to give you my peace. And in those situations when everybody else is worried and everybody else is hurt and everybody else is torn up, God says, if you will come to me in prayer, I will give you a peace which passes all human comprehension, all human understanding, and I will give you peace in the midst of the storm. The last one that I want to share with you this morning is Yahweh Shama. And it means Yahweh is there. And I read this and I think, I am always there. In Psalms 139, verses 8 to 12. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. Yahweh Shammah, I am always there. No matter where you go, no matter where you try to hide, no matter how far you try to run, God is there. When you feel completely alone and isolated from everyone else, when it seems like everyone else has turned their back on you and walked away, God is still there. Yahweh Shammah, I am there. When you feel completely alone and you don't have anyone else to turn to and there's nowhere you can go, I am there. Yahweh Shammah, I am always there no matter what, no matter where you're at, no matter where you go. God is there. The Father is there. So as we close this morning, I want you guys to remember the Father is Yahweh. He is a personal God. He's not a vague ideology that was handed down from former generations. He is Yahweh. He is I Am. You see, when you are in need, the Father speaks His name to you. And He says, Yahweh Yireh, I am your provider. When you are weak and you don't think that you can stand against the tide any longer, the Father speaks His name to you. And He says, Yahweh Nisi, I am your strength and shield. When you are hurting and your entire world seems to be crashing before your eyes, the Father speaks His name to you and He says, Yahweh Shalom, I am your peace. When you feel completely alone, like no one else even cares that you are alive, the Father whispers His name to you and He says, Yahweh Shammah, I am here. Yahweh is a personal God. He loves and He cares deeply for each and every one of you. He will inscribe His name, His personal name upon your hearts if you will accept it. Let's bow our heads. God, I know that You are my I Am. No matter what situation is going on in my life, God, no matter how much I'm hurting, no matter what problem has come along in my life, be it physical or financial or spiritual or emotional, God, no matter what problem there is in my life, You are the I Am. God, I know that I can come to You and You will simply say, I am the answer. I am what you need. I am your God. This morning, as I have spoken about the name of God, I alluded to earlier the sacrifice that Jesus made. When He died on the cross and He allowed us through that death and through His resurrection to experience the personal relationship with God the Father. And as I've spoken this morning and you've realized that the name of Yahweh, the I Am, is not written upon your heart, I want to give you the opportunity this morning to do just that. To accept the salvation that the Father offers you through the sacrifice of His Son. If you desire that personal relationship with God, I just very simply just want you to raise your hand. No one else is looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Anyone else? Don't pass up the opportunity to have a personal relationship with Creator God. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Let's all say this prayer together. If you'd repeat after me. God, I desire a relationship with you. And I accept the sacrifice of your Son for the forgiveness of my sin. And God, I open my heart to you. And I ask you to inscribe your name there. God, thank you for your forgiveness. And I promise to live for you from this day forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, give him a hand clap. If you raised your hand this morning, we have a packet for you back here in the back. You can pick that up as soon as we're done here this morning. If all of you would stand. It's wonderful to have a God that desires a personal relationship with you. And so, in your life, I want to challenge you. You don't have to use the Hebrew term, the Yahweh, or whatever, but begin to think of God in those terms, as the I Am in your life. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your problems that you're facing, God simply says to you, I am. I am. Come to me. I am the answer to your problem. I am your provider, your strength, your shield. I am your peace. I am always, always there for you. Let's bow our heads and I'll say a final prayer. God, thank you for this morning. And God, thank you that you desire to have a relationship with me. God, it's just mind-blowing to me to think that for some reason you desire to have a relationship with me. But God, I am so grateful and so thankful for that relationship. God, it's the most transforming, most important relationship that I've ever experienced. And so God, as I look at you as my I Am, my personal I Am, God, I can't help but walk and desire to be in your presence more and more, God. God, that as we leave this place this morning, that we would go with the thought in our minds and in our hearts that you are with us, that you have inscribed your name upon our hearts, and God, that we would seek after you and what you have for us in this world, and God, that you will just take care of us and you will provide for us and you will just take care of our problems for us if we will seek after you, God. God, bless each and every one of the people that are here this morning. God, give them peace, give them joy in their lives. God, I pray blessings over each and every person that is here this morning, that you will bless them in their jobs, that you will give them favor in their families and at their workplaces, God. God, that we will live in the blessing and in the provision and in the peace that you provide for us in our personal relationship with you. God, we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That's all we have this morning. You are dismissed, and we will see you here Wednesday night. We are having classes this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Thank you. Last one for the year.